December 1st, 1983. I don't even know what date it is. And this is Kathy Tolino, and I am interviewing Martha Randolph. Our subject is competitive shooting history here in Kodiak, and we're leaning toward the role of women in competitive shooting. And I met Martha when I first came to Kodiak, and she's been someone I've admired and honored. And I'm going to be asking her questions about shooting and about her life and what all she's done in her life in the area of competitive shooting. First of all, Martha, if you'd tell me your name.
Okay, my name is Martha Randolph. I was born in Kodiak, Alaska, territory of Alaska, way back in 1933 on August 12th. So that makes me senior citizen this year, or eligible for the senior citizens membership in the local seniors. I've lived all my life in Kodiak, and I can't tell you a better place to live. My parents were Ollie Olson, my father, and my mother, Laura Margaret Olson. Her maiden name was Larson, Laura Margaret Larson. She's the daughter of Anton Larson. I think a lot of people will ring a bell with Anton Larson Island. That was my grandfather's place. He homesteaded that. I don't remember exactly when he homesteaded. It was long before my time. My grandfather died the year that I was born, so I never was privileged to meet him personally, but I feel like I've known him through the years with all the stories that I've heard.
When do you first remember shooting? Did you shoot when you were a little girl?
When I was a little girl? No. I come from a family of five daughters. Mm-hmm. My parents were not privileged to have any sons. However, I can remember my dad saying that the men would tease him and tell him that, "That's all right, Ollie. The boys will come later."
And they did.
Yeah, they did. Heaven help. But anyhow, yeah, when I was a child, when I was a young girl, you know, the girls didn't do the things that ladies and women do today. You never ever saw a woman out on a fishing boat. Oh yeah, she might be out there, you know, helping her husband or helping with the family gill net operation or something like that. But to be out on a seine or something like that, women just didn't do those things. Women's role was in the home. The men were the providers. And so when did I first remember shooting? I was a teenager, and my father worked on the Naval Station, which is now the U.S. Coast Guard Base Support Center. And he had a very good friend who was who liked to shoot. In fact, my dad went, they were duck hunting companions. And this friend's name was Eddie Pecor. And he was also a former baseball player. He had lost an eye when he was a younger man, so that cut him out from league play. But anyhow, Eddie took me out one time and was going to teach me how to shoot. And
where did you shoot?
If I remember rightly, we went to Holiday Beach.
Holiday Beach.
And it was with a shotgun.
A shotgun. Yeah.
And I think he more or less challenged me. Martha, mm-hmm. See if you can hit, I'm gonna pitch this bottle or this can, whatever it was. I'm gonna pitch it up, see if you can hit it. Well, of course, two or three times, you know, and all I did was shoot great big holes in the air. And
was your shoulder sore?
You know, I don't know. I don't recall it being sore, and it was a 12-gauge shotgun at that.
And you don't recall your shoulder being sore?
It was a J.C. Higgins 12-gauge pump shotgun. I remember that, and I loved that gun.
Oh.
But anyhow, after four or five times, I got the hang of it. And I think, really, if I had kept up with trap shooting or whatnot, I probably would have been pretty good at it uh-huh. because I loved it.
Uh-huh.
And,
it
of course,
fun.
The more you practice, the better you got, you know. And evidently, Eddie Picor used to keep my dad informed on my, quote, progress.
Mm-hmm.
and from what I heard, that my dad was very proud of me, but he never, ever asked me how I was doing, you know, what we did, because Eddie had dogs, and he would take the dogs, he and his wife were very good friends of my folks, and this was how, you know, we'd go out shooting. Well, Martha, you want to go for a ride with us? Eddie and his wife, and they'd have the dogs, you know, and we'd take the dogs for a run. Well, of course, and then do the shooting, too.
Interesting. So yes. It wasn't verbally we're going shooting.
No, interesting. No.
Uh-uh. Did his wife shoot also?
No, Grace did not shoot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did he ever say if it was his idea or your dad's idea to get you started?
I really don't remember.
Isn't that interesting?
They didn't have children,
uh-huh.
and that was something they always wanted. And, of course, here I was a teenager that was interested in baseball and shooting and
all those things, you know, that girls aren't supposed to mm-hmm. be interested in.
In other words, I was the tomboy in uh-huh. the family. So anyhow, that was my first shooting experience.
Did your mom ever find out about you shooting? Did she know that you were
shooting? Oh, later on.
Shooting?
Later uh-huh. on, she did. Yes.
Was it upsetting to her? Or did
I don't think so, because now my uh-huh. mother, when she was a young girl. Living on the island, this was part of life out there.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're hearing the stories now. We uh-huh. didn't when we were younger girls.
Interesting.
But she talks about loading shotgun
uh-huh.
shells.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard her talk about when my grandfather, originally when they would do their loading, they used black powder.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you know, black powder is an awful messy
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But anyhow, I can remember just recently she was telling the tale about when my grandfather, brought home smokeless powder.
Oh, and how exciting
you know,
that was.
Yeah. And you didn't have to get all dirty with all this
uh-huh.
this loading. And, of course, they didn't call it hand loading then.
No.
You know. So, but as a young girl, she did shoot. And I can recall her talking about shooting a 10-gauge shotgun.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I've seen
and
pictures.
And 10-gauge kicks like crazy,
yeah.
too. Yeah.
I've seen pictures of her holding up ducks with her dog,
uh-huh.
Topsy, with her dog's name. But there's a picture where she's holding up
Great.
Ducks that
Great.
She had killed. Topsy's by her side, and here's the gun.
Yeah. Definitely. Generations right. of, yeah,
yeah,
of using
but
the gun for, yeah, for
yeah,
self-sufficiency.
It was interesting, but basically when we were, you know, us girls were growing up, girls stayed home and took care of...
Mm-hmm.
The cook, you learned how to cook and mm-hmm. and sew and wash and iron and take care of a house.
Mm-hmm. Did you know of any other girls that were your friends or did any of your other sisters show any interest at all in that kind of, in shooting?
I have one other sister who did, yes.
Uh-huh.
But she's a little bit older than I am. Of course, she's kind of a tomboy like I was too, so
mm-hmm.
naturally, you know,
mm-hmm.
went that way. But my other sisters, no.
Weren't in the least bit interested.
Not at that point,
mm-hmm.
and at that time, my younger sister, I'm number four in, out of the girls.
Uh-huh.
My younger sister is, the youngest one, is 7.5 years younger than I am, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's quite a span there before. Yeah, and she shoots now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Good shot, too.
Great. Yeah. Great. Do you remember when you first started shooting in a competitive manner? I mean, was that the first time you went out with the shotgun? Or, I mean, do you ever remember, you know, taking the challenge?
I couldn't tell you. It must have been the first competition was in, it was a turkey shoot. And I don't even remember who was sponsoring it. And it was real low-key,
uh-huh.
you know, oh, so-and-so's having a turkey shoot. And I was married then.
And basically a turkey shoot is when turkey is the prize if
yeah.
you win, right?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And it was with 22s, I remember
Interesting.
That. And I think this must have been, This must have been around 53, I guess. 53 or 54. Yeah. And, you know, my husband at the time, well, you try it. And, oh, no, uh-huh. You know, me.
The usual,
no,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I did.
Playing the role but wanting to do it badly.
Uh-huh. So yep. I did, and, yeah, uh-huh. I did win a turkey.
Uh-huh. And what did husband say at that point? Was he happy about that?
Oh, yeah, I think he was kind of surprised, but, you know, uh-huh. You blamed it all on luck.
Uh-huh.
There was no skill
isn't
involved.
That the truth? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. In our history class, we were talking about during the war, they mentioned in the book that we were reading, and in some of the movies that we saw, they were talking about how they armed civilians here in Kodiak, those civilians who were interested in defending themselves when they truly believed that the Japanese were going to attack Kodiak. Do you remember any of that? Do you remember any of that happening or being aware of any of that going on?
I remember being aware of it, but, uh-huh. You know, some tales are that, quote, everybody was armed.
Uh-huh.
No, everybody was not armed. Maybe the military did provide guns to some people. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure. You know, I've heard that they did.
Mm-hmm.
My father worked on the base, helped in building that facility. And I don't recall him being furnished with any type of gun.
Uh-huh.
I do remember that we were supplied with gas masks.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And
do you remember any ammunition or anything being supplied?
Not that I can recall. You mm-hmm. know, I was just what seven, 8 years mm-hmm. old. No, I was nine, I guess. Yeah, I was about 9 years mm-hmm. old then. But I can remember, yeah, the gas masks and you know, everybody in the family was supplied with one,
mm-hmm.
and having to take them to school with us.
Oh, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Huh.
Back and forth every day.
My.
You know, I think you've probably heard all kinds of tales about the curfews and the blackouts and the air raids that or the warnings that we had, you know, for the Japanese coming over and whatnot. Yeah, there were times that we did leave home.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you remember them taking any guns along? Dad taking any guns along when you left home?
No, I don't remember that. I remember we were taken. You know, we dressed warm.
Uh huh.
And my younger sister was just a little one, and my mom and dad taking turns carrying her. You know, so we
uh-huh.
could walk faster.
Uh-huh.
And walking in the dark. Because it was blackout time, mm-hmm. and you had to have your flashlights blackened, and whatnot. And then after the all clear sounded, depending on what time of night it was, whether we stayed where we went
mm-hmm.
or whether we walked back home. Yeah.
Mm.
Looking back, it was a traumatic time.
Of course, no question about
Real
that.
Traumatic.
Any war is traumatic. I can understand
because
that.
Because you just didn't know you were mm-hmm. you were restricted. I mean, here we were living in a small place, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden, the government, the military comes in, and areas that we were used to going to were no longer available
mm-hmm.
because they were out of bounds.
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be any fun at all.
And, mm-hmm. you know, at that time, why, here was Kodiak, the little fishing village, and accustomed to a way of life that was real low key, I guess you could say nowadays, because people went about and did what had to be done, didn't have to worry about locking your doors or walking alone in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, here you have this big influx of military, and that. It really changed.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly. My next question, Was competitive shooting something that you shared with your husband? I mean, did your husband know that you were interested in shooting when you met him?
Oh, yes.
I mean, in my own life, my husband probably married me because I like guns. I don't know if that's the case with you, but men seem to be pretty amazed when they finally find a woman who really does like to shoot.
I think that was an attraction, because at the time that I met my husband, I was working on the naval station, and I was staying briefly with Grace and Eddie Picor. Mm-hmm. They had quarters on the base, and it turned out that I think it was one of Eddie's sisters or one of his relatives lost her husband, and he was going down to help her, and Grace didn't want to stay alone, so she asked me if I would stay with her while he was gone, so I did. And then I think he had been back maybe about a week, and it turned out that Grace and Eddie both knew my husband, or the man that was to be my husband. And it was real interesting how I met him. I met his mother before I met him.
Interesting. The same with my father and mother.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I met his mother, and evidently she had gone home and told him about this girl that was staying with Grace and Eddie, and next thing he was over there, and of course we got to talking. I was interested in sports of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting, fishing, bowling, baseball. In fact, at that time, I was on a softball team. So,
great.
So I think that, yeah, I think that
was part
an
of the attraction.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So. And after you had your children, did you teach all of them how to shoot?
Oh, yes. The children, all the kids were raised. They were raised around guns.
Mm-hmm.
They were raised to respect them.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't handle them nonchalantly, and they were cared for just
like
a fine piece of furniture.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree. Did you ever remember going out with other women to shoot? I mean, was it something that you shared with other women, or did you kind of feel like you were the only one around that did it?
I can't recall very many women shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember going duck hunting and rabbit hunting and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always, I was the only female in the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And duck hunting was the same way.
Sounds familiar.
I don't recall being around other women who shot or were interested in shooting until getting involved with the Sportsmen's Association.
Mm-hmm.
There were women who were interested, maybe it was just to be supportive of their husbands or
mm-hmm.
or their companion at the time. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, in fact, I wondered if I was a little bit strange, you know. Why don't other people do this?
That's
why
right.
do I like to do it?
I understand where you're coming from. Okay. When you went out to shoot with your family, we talked before about, you know, places in Kodiak. Where did you shoot? I mean, you talked about going to Holiday Beach. You remember going there and shooting the first time. And are there some other areas that you remember shooting at?
Gosh. It seems like, you know, it would stop, and if this was a good place, I can't recall, say definitely that any specific locations,
just
but I can
place
remember
that was
a
safe.
Good,
uh-huh.
safe place
mm-hmm.
to shoot. You didn't shoot out over the
over
water.
The water.
You
yeah.
always had a good backstop.
Mm-hmm.
You never ever shot or aim towards the road or going
mm-hmm.
across the road. In other words, you evaluated your situation and
right.
where you were located, you know. So it was wherever we went shooting was a good place to shoot.
And nowadays it's very difficult for people to do that because there's homes and everywhere, everything all
uh-huh.
over the place. And people
yeah.
who still do that end up shooting in an unsafe manner nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, great. Have you ever felt the need or had to ever defend yourself with a gun?
I've never, ever had to. And I hope I never
I hope you never do either.
That's something I've thought about many a time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a choice you have to make when that situation arises. Mm-hmm. I don't think a person really knows for sure how they're going to react. But, you know, maybe if it comes down to defending your life against, I don't know. And I hope I never ever have to.
Yeah, I hope you never do either. I'm not so sure I'd like to be faced with that choice either.
No.
How did the building of the Kissa Indoor Range change competitive shooting here in Kodiak? That's kind of a wild question.
Well,
you were very heavily involved with the beginning of that indoor range out there, and I know when I first came to Kodiak, that's where I met you. If you could just kind of give me a kind of a general overview of what competitive shooting, not connected with hunting and fishing, but competitive shooting in matches, was like before that range was built, and then how it changed after it was built.
Competitive shooting before that, I don't think there was much of it, except maybe an occasional one, a turkey shoot, and those are the only ones I can recall, you know, in the surrounding area.
Were there any NRA matches ever held before the indoor range?
No, mm-hmm. Not that I'm aware.
Not for
of.
Civilians.
That's right. Mm-hmm. On the naval station, they did have a rod and gun club or a conservation club, something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And the military and the civilians that lived out there or worked out there, I guess, had access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting because I lived on the naval station for a number of years. I knew it was there, but I just didn't have that interest in it. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was younger, raising a family, you know, and you're a busy day taking care of those things.
Right.
And the things that we did with the kids, you know, going out and shooting and whatnot,
sure.
Why it was at the family.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, the indoor range, when that was built, it created an awareness and a need for, it created the need for people to realize, you know, that, number one, guns don't need to be feared if they're handled properly. It was an education for people here that maybe were opposed to shooting sports beforehand and could come out and see what was happening, that, hey, this wasn't such a bad idea after all. I can recall women, and I'm sure you can too, Kathy, that were afraid of guns.
Scared to death. Mm-hmm. Had trained many of them.
Because
mm-hmm.
they didn't know how to handle them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet after going through a shooting program, had an entirely different outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. To my way of thinking, it's something good that has happened. It's mm-hmm. still, it's got a long way to go yet. I mean, because there's so much that can be done. And you guys have made a lot of progress.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. There's a lot of history in that range.
There certainly is. No question about that. I'm thinking about all the things I remember going on out there.
I don't know if we even had a heating system in there when you were there.
The beginning part, I think the heating system had just... No, I remember the first meetings we didn't. We
they
didn't
were
have heat
cold.
On. Yeah. The system was in, but it wasn't up and running for whatever reason.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember it was cold in there. I remember that now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can remember that.
It's come
that
a long
was great.
Way.
It certainly has. It certainly has come a long way. My next question is something that we kind of had to laugh about ahead of time, but I'll ask it anyway, and then I'll probably steer it in a little bit different direction. My next question was, what do you think will happen after the Brady Bill goes into effect? And Martha and I just sort of agreed that there's no way we can really figure out what's going to happen. I think probably another thing, point that I'd like to bring up is that we see on TV in the lower 48 and here in Kodiak, it's beginning to happen too. There's an incredible amount of violence around and a lot of people using guns and handguns in particular who perhaps really should not be using handguns or should somehow be having some training going on with handguns. Do you think that we as a community can pull together and tackle that problem?
Education's a valuable tool.
And if we all work together.
Maybe so. But I think a lot of it there is... working together, maybe so. But let's face it. Guns, and they class them as weapons. And I don't like to see them classed as weapons because... Really, when you come right down to it, the good old kitchen knife is a valuable weapon. A pair of scissors is a valuable weapon.
Mm-hmm.
A baseball bat is a weapon. So, guns are, they've got a stigma right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, that's not fair. I don't think. But, I don't know, education is something that's needed. There's nothing wrong with guns. I mean, what's wrong with going out and enjoying target shooting, trap shooting? It's a recreation.
It's a skill.
Yeah. And you work hard to develop that mm-hmm. skill. People like to go out and drive, road races.
Four-wheelers?
Yeah. No, not four-wheelers. Sports cars
and
whatnot.
Car, yeah.
You know what
the
I'm talking about.
Race cars out
race
there.
Car
yeah.
drivers.
Stock cars.
Yeah,
stuff.
There it is. Stock
cars.
That's
cars.
The word
yeah.
I want. Yeah.
Okay.
Gosh, look at the number of people that can be killed when one of those things
mm-hmm.
crashes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but yet you don't see stock cars labeled mm-hmm. like you do guns.
So your feeling is that what needs to be educated and changed is we need to go after the people and not the implement.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because, let's face it, God willing, I hope guns are around as long as I am, or even longer than I am. Because, gee whiz, we wouldn't be here today. If they weren't available for the defensive measures they've done.
One of the issues that came up in the women's shooting classes that I've taught in this past year has been the question of empowerment of the person who knows how to use a firearm safely. Do you have any thoughts on the feeling that you have when you hit what you're aiming at, and you know that you can handle yourself, and you know that you know when you use a gun, you're not going to use it in an incorrect manner, and that feeling of personal empowerment. Do you agree with that?
I have, yeah, because I wouldn't handle a gun if I didn't know how to use it. If
mm-hmm.
you were to hand me a gun of yours, I'm not just going to take it from you. I'm gonna make sure that you have the action open,
mm-hmm.
where it's visibly obvious that hey, that there's no danger to me handling it. Not only that, I'm not going to try to operate something that I'm not familiar with. I'm going to ask beforehand. Well, how does this work? Show me.
Mm-hmm.
So. So that's where a lot of the education comes in. These women firearm or any not I shouldn't say women in general, where firearms training can benefit anybody who doesn't know how. And they're going to be wiser, even if they have no intention of ever owning or ever having to handle a firearm. They shouldn't feel uncomfortable around one.
Thank you. Do you have anything else that you want to say?
Gosh. Well, all I can say is that there just needs to be a lot more education, a lot more public awareness. Mm-hmm. Because there are too many people, and I've met, and I'm really surprised at the number that I have met that are, oh, I'm deathly afraid of guns.
Mm-hmm.
They're horrible weapons. I'm not going to use the words they did because I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'll be there to defend it all the way. Hey, I have no fear of guns. I would be in a situation where I felt somebody was carelessly handling one, then I would be fearful for that accident that happens. Kids, I think it's wonderful that the junior shooting program you have going out at the range, I think it's great because as a youngster you start learning the correct shooting skills, you're not going to be